Ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode, we explore, expand, and evolve our understanding of the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity and exponential growth. And now welcome your hosts, Dr. Jeffrey Smith and Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. And good afternoon, everybody. Here in, I'm in Colorado, and our friend here, Dr. Jeffrey Smith, there in California. Welcome to another Adventures in Truth podcast. Thank you all for being here. Hi, Jeff.
Howdy, Jim. How are you today?
I'm good. I felt like I just like did a running pass through that introduction there. I was running. Anyway, I'm well and glad to be here and as we tend to do, we kind of started a little bit off recording, and here we are jumping into the recording. So I'm going to kind of set the stage for where we're diving today. This is going to be a good one. This is the dive off the high cliff.
Wait a minute, haven't they all been good?
Yeah. Well, actually, they have been. It was good. This is a really good one this week. What we're going to dive into today is maybe something that happens for many of us 50s men. Maybe it happens for many before that. Maybe it happens to many all the time. I've noticed it in my world, and as Jeff and I were talking, we didn't realize we were having very similar thought processes about our experience. And the basis of that thought process is this. Here I am. I've done a lot in my life. I've had a lot of wonderful experiences. I've dedicated myself to various things. I've had a very good run thus far. I've come to a place where I don't want to struggle. I don't want to fight, but I want to contribute. I want to engage. I want to feel passion. I want to do the things that I feel like I know I'm here to do. And not really being clear what that is, having ideas, having things we've done before, maybe we didn't complete. But this idea of internally feeling this sense of, am I playing too small? Have I played too small? Did I not bust out where I could have busted out? Could there be places that I could do more? And in the end, is what's the legacy? What have I? What's my imprint? What have I contributed to this place that has inspired me and guided me and taken me through, you know, my life to this point? Fair enough so far?
Perfect.
The deep dive is into this idea of being at a point where you look at your life and you say, it's been amazing and it continues to be amazing, but I want to use my gifts and my tools. And I was responding as we were talking about it, how I was having similar thoughts. Things that really, what shifted, as we talked about in our last podcast, something that shifted greatly for me was recognizing that I was thinking small. I was thinking negatively instead of thinking in a broader context of where I am. And so that sort of comes to play again here with this idea of playing small and sort of my mind wanting and our minds wanting to drill into this. Shouldn't there be more? Shouldn't there be something? All the things that I've experienced in my life, all the growth that has gone on, all the expansion, all of the experiences, and this is it. This is it. This is all. I haven't brought anything yet. I mean, I brought a lot of different things, but I didn't bring it yet. But I'm not sure what it is. I just know that feeling in me is like, there's got to be a place that this evolution has come to a point that it has to go big. It's got to do something. And for me, and it sounded like as we were talking for you, there's there's big question marks there between what the desire is and how that feels and where to go with it, how to assess it, how to gain clarity about it. And with that, I'm going to say happy Friday, Jeff. Let's dive in.
All right. Let's do. If we could backtrack to the very opening of your intro, I'm not so sure that this is just a man thing. When you said it might be a man thing, you know, for people in their 50s, I just go with just people in general. And yeah, maybe more with men and maybe at 50. But I also have talked enough with other folks to know that this is kind of a issue, whether you're 20, what am I going to do with my life? You know, what's next is kind of how I would put it. And as you were talking and did a great job on the intro, I was just thinking that, you know, my model growing up was when I was a teen looking at guys my age, they were done or they were almost done. They're like right there at the finish line at age 50 plus, almost 60. They weren't thinking about what's next. And so now, because we do live longer and 30 is a new 50, and I guess 50 is a new 80, or did I say that right? I don't know. Yeah. Okay, thank you. So now here, you know, the model that I grew up looking at doesn't apply any longer. I'm not an old man at the age that I am, neither are you. And it, to me, would not be right to be talking about retirement right now. I have some of my friends, just the other day I was at the gym, and the guy's like, so when are you going to retire, Jeff? And I went, I've actually never thought about that. And he's like, what? Like, to me, retirement would be giving my brain permission to turn to mush. It's like a use it or lose it thing. And golf and whatever you do in retirement would just not be enough to hold my attention and drive for life. And I just start slowing down and going down. And it's like, that's just not. Slowing down is one thing, but to me, it's if you slow down much, it's you don't. When you sit down, you're done.
Well, and I think there's a little bit, and I do not mean this in any way as a judgment. It's more of an evaluation that looking at the picture is that people that are aiming for retirement probably have struggled to find balance in their world for most of their adult life, meaning they've been so career focused that is the only thing that's really been occupying their space. And so the idea of not having that focus is a very powerful thing. But when you've worked to create balance, you don't need relief from your life.
You just love it.
You just love it. You keep going. You look for other things to include and things to let go of. And it's sort of this constantly moving, evolving, you know, field, you know, where it's there's all kinds of new interests and old interests leaving. And, you know, and so it's just an interesting side thought there that seemed kind of interesting to the conversation.
Right. So I guess that would be my contribution to the intro of this is we're living at a time now where we really can be productive and we can be of maximum service to others well into our 70s if we want to be. Mm-hmm. Still have sharp minds, you can still drive, you can still write and communicate and try to stay up with technology enough to still be relevant. And that's how I'm feeling, is that I'm still very relevant and there are still a handful of things that I would love to be a part of and contribute to that I'm not done yet. Mm-hmm. Even though there's times when I could absolutely say I have done enough and it is my time to kick back or go to 3 days a week and have 5 day weekends. That would be bizarre, but some people do that. So I don't know if this is really where we wanted to go with that part of our deep dive, is just setting the stage of where are you, you know, the listeners listening right now, and where are you in, it isn't so much about retirement or how much are you going to do in your life, but are you playing small, mm-hmm. or are you really going to show up and honor that internal core purpose that you may have never been able to put your finger on or speak words to, but you know that there's something that you're here to do and be a part of and see and witness that maybe you're not. Because doggone it, Netflix is so compelling, it just keeps me on the couch for 3 hours a night. And those are 3 hours times every night, times every week that, you know, there's a degree program right there in a couple of years.
Yeah, and I find that unnecessarily judgmental of self. It is what it is. It's still about choices. It's about your energy. Yeah. Is there a change in the randomity cycles in the body? Is there changes to what's happening energetically? Absolutely. But I don't think, for me anyway, as long as those things aren't attachments, I think they're perfectly fine, because in a way you could consider if you're doing your work, if you're doing the meditation, if you're doing the things to keep your energy stimulated and expanding and growing, and there are these things that you like to do on the other side of it, maybe like you said, Netflix, and it's, you know, I mean, it would be one thing if what you're doing is all watching all slasher flicks or hardcore negative focused kind of things, or are you doing, you know, watching more things that are stimulating to the mind and uplifting and kind of triggering imagination and all that kind of stuff? That's a whole different beast. And I think those can be very important, because while there's a lot we know, there's so much more we don't know about our energy systems, how they rejuvenate, how they, you know, you're still in the throes of a massive healing process. How long's it been now?
It'll be 3 years in January.
Has it been 3 years since that?
Can you believe that?
No,
yeah.
I can't believe that. No, it can't be 3 years.
It will be 3 years in January. Trust me.
Since your arm happened?
Yes.
It can't be, Jeff. It's not possible. Okay. Okay. So we assume that, and I've had this relative experience a lot, you know, I mean, having had the kidney stone in February and then had my gallbladder out in whatever it was, May or June, the body has its own process. The energy system has its own process. And while we seek to engage that in a way that we can feel like we're in rhythm, I don't think it brings a whole lot of greater understanding, but I do think that it does bring some clarity as you get used to letting your body and energy system recover. You know, I find that there's so many things that we engage in this world now that it's imperative that we have that time to do that. That time that unwinds our field, the time that disconnects us from all of the input that we've taken in throughout the day. And I'm talking about just the fact that we live in, now a 5G world that has all of that going on, you know, all of the political, all of the social, all of the work, all of it. And we have, I don't think as largely as a species learned how to deal with the balance of that, because the demands of career say you have to be working this many hours and you got to be out there doing this. So people are scrapping to find that adequate time. But for those of us who are doing our own thing, so to speak, have our own businesses or have our own process, the most important part of that in my world is the balance, is that I'm not going off the deep end so far that I'm out of balance in the rest of my world. So, and those things take time. Anyway, I don't want to go meandering off into the Neverlands. It's just more I think it's an important part of understanding how to dial into your energy system to understand if you are playing small, if you are holding back, because there's a very distinct difference between being in resistance and just being in the space of your energy, you know?
Can you talk some more about that?
So, yeah. Being in the space of your energy is in part, you know, through the meditation, through whatever tools you use to keep yourself aligned and inside your field. to me, there are so many things that engage, that can engage us. And when we're looking at a higher vibration, when we're wanting to be in a place where we're that connected, we're going to be vibrating in a way that's going to be attracting a lot of different opportunities and potentials into the, into our experience. So how do we deal with those? Well, part of it is you've got to nurture that field space. You've got to be able to be there for all those opportunities, because once they show up, you have the opportunity then to be with them and see how they fit within the whole scheme, and not just what happens in here and what we think we need to do or what we think we should do in order to feel like we're not playing small or feel like we're doing something in the world. And so we get back into this idea of pushing like we do for most of our lives. I mean, we work this hard to get this far, to get to a point of saying, I'm finally finding a good place in balance and I want to do more. So how do I do that in balance? And how do I do that staying with my space and moving into this new thing? And the challenge is not trying to override it with what we know from history, which is, oh, this is the way you do this. You focus, you get into that mode, you get into the grind, you get narrowly focused, and you just, this is what I got to do. And you start making your lists and you're doing your thing. And suddenly you find yourself in a place where you're no longer feeling satisfied, because you're doing, in the effort to find the thing that makes you feel like you're accomplishing, you went backward. You went to history instead of looking for the new way. I have a new energy field. I have a new experience. How do I use this to now fulfill this desire? Did that bring it around?
Mm-hmm.
How do I fulfill this desire that I have, that, wow, I have all this energy and talent and ability, and I've been very successful with it, and I know it has a new way to express itself. I'm not real sure where that is yet, or maybe I am. But my encouragement in that, and for me, what I try to do every day, is to keep it in the inspired place instead of in the will space. Not using will anymore to force my way through the world or to push my way through the world, but to go through inspiration to allow those ideas and things to grow within me, and then they become the motivation, because my whole field is engaged now. My whole desire is, this is what fuels me. I'm there. Let's go. Let's, you know, and then if you're working, you know, if you're doing something that requires a lot of time or a lot of energy, it's not depleting, and it isn't taking from you, because you're constantly in a give and take relationship in that inspired space. So you know, in your own sensitivities, when to fully engage, when to back off, when you know you've put too much energy, so I need to like step out of this for a few minutes or a day or a week and give myself a break and let my energy system settle, because I'm not contributing the way I feel I could. So I'm going to take a step back, you know, and that's all where the balance happens, and all where I think the fulfillment happens, because now it's not about the second phase of, I got to have a career. It's a new phase of, I want to take this potential and expand it and see it realized.
I was thinking back to times when I was in the Marine Corps and there was always a purpose or a mission for what I was doing. It wasn't just a job. It was not anywhere near just a paycheck. And there was so much intense training, and you might even want to call it sacrifice, or certainly potential sacrifice, to risk life and limb in service like that. Fortunately, I didn't have to experience that myself. But I recall there was never a day when I was wondering, why are we doing this? Or what is this? What is the big picture? And so I got a really good, and that was whether I was an infantryman, a sniper, a fighter pilot, it was a clear, distinct mission and a purpose of what we were doing each day, was working toward something. And I don't think a lot of people have that in their life. And since I've gotten out of the Marine Corps, you know, I started a nonprofit that had a purpose, and that just didn't manifest. And there's been a lot of projects that sustainability projects and wanting to work with homeless people and wanting to create a greater awareness of spirituality. These are all great purposes, but it's like I never found the traction to bring them into fruition. And my default was always going back to, well, I'm a good therapist and I can do that. But there's no end game in therapy in terms of like a big picture. There's one-offs with people. I can see people, they came in depressed and anxious. 6 months later, they're not. They've applied the work we've done and they're in a different space. And I can feel good about that. But there isn't really, it's not changing the community. It's not, there isn't enough of a movement that I can see that I'm having an impact on that is creating a notable change. So I know why I'm going to work every day. It at this point feels more like, yes, I do value and I do have gratitude toward being able to help other people live their lives in a better way. Mm-hmm. But it really feels more like a grind at times to where it's just, I'm doing this to pay the bills and I'm maintaining my lifestyle. And so I think it's important that those of us that are in places like that take a step back and reevaluate what is the purpose for me to be doing this. It's got to be more than just putting a roof over my head and food in my mouth, clothes on my back, and stashing a little money away for a rainy day if you're able to do that. That to me is not enough. Mm-hmm. So if we're backing up to playing small versus playing big, you know, playing small to me would be more that particular strategy where it's just getting by. It's just doing enough that I'm maintaining. There isn't really a whole lot at risk here. I could do this, I could do that, but for whatever reason, there isn't the collaboration maybe that it takes to be part of a team, because it's hard to make initiatives and be a change agent as a entity of one. We need, just like you have a workout partner, you have an accountability partner, you have a co-host doing a podcast. I mean, I would not show up and do this nearly as much if it were just me. I just wouldn't.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that would be true for you or not, but I do know that our accountability to each other, we show up at least 3 out of 4 weeks and do these things. I think that's probably a good average.
Yeah. We're very consistent. I mean, the times we miss are what you would expect. Mm-hmm. Life things.
But it's because it's a we thing that makes it that way. And if it was just a me thing rather than a we thing, I probably would have been done by now, because it's like, well, you know, it hasn't created exactly what we wanted to yet. And it's like, you know, how long do you have to do it before the residuals come in or whatever your goals are to be established? So that's, you know, I can definitely appreciate you and the teamwork that we've created in doing this. And maybe we could just use that as a model to try to talk a little bit more about playing small versus playing big. Is you need a coach, you need a accountability partner, you need a team. It takes more than just you to do that.
Well, you said a lot of interesting things in there, and my thought was, as you're talking about the accountability piece, I'm sure there's some of that, but accountability isn't your issue. It isn't my issue. Both of us have enough type A going on that we're very self-motivated. If we're not doing it because it doesn't hold our interest, it's mm-hmm. plain and simple. It's pretty black and white. You know, it's like, there's a lot of things out there, but the thought I was having was that the thing that isn't so much about the accountability, and I know for me, this is true. It's the satisfaction and the experience of the dives that we go on together, sharing that experience and that energy and being able to, as two individuals, come together in the same energetic space and explore it together in a very satisfying and uplifting and expanding way. And the topics and the things that we dive into, again, not about self-aggrandizement, but that's not going small. You know, those we're diving into topics and being willing to talk about things that that, as you've said many times throughout the course of our working together, most people would not venture to go here. So there's got to be something more to this idea of what is the assessment or judgment that we carry that is comparing large to small, that because, you know, like one of the things for me, and this is going to sound like a diversion, but it's not. One of the things that's always been true in my life that I've always been fascinated and happy about is that as I scan back through my life as far back as I can remember, I can't find anywhere that I regret anything. Because everything I did in the moment, and I did it in a way that I did based on what I knew at the time. So I did it from where I was with what I had as best as I could in any given moment, in any given place. And I can't see anywhere that I made a choice or a decision. And maybe there are, I just haven't found them, but it doesn't fly up in my face. I don't sit by myself when I'm in my most personal moments and thinking about, oh gosh, I wish I would've, you know, why didn't I do that instead of that? It never happened that way. It happened that when those choices were presented, I sat with it like I always do. It was different then, I was younger then, but I sat with them and I felt my way through them and I made the best possible decision for myself in the moment. So the reason I say that is because that's why we're where we are now. So that brought us to this place. So we've been making those choices, and based on your description and the things that you were talking about a little bit ago with your history, those were all very deliberate choices. They were very clearly made choices. There's no regret in those choices. There's a lot of, it's positive. It was forward moving. It expanded your world. It created, I mean, just more and more and more of that. And maybe that's the trick. Maybe it's, I want more and more of that. That being that experience of those things that expand my world, that expand and connect me to the world in a deeper fashion, that, you know, whatever that is. But my whole point in bringing it back full circle is the idea of that idea of we need people to keep us accountable is a way of saying we're not. And I don't know that that's legitimate. I think it's more about connection. And that if you can connect, I mean, at least in my own experience, those times that you connect deeply, when we connect deeply in this process, you know, we don't spend a lot of time talking outside of this. We connect throughout the week. Occasionally we send each other stuff, but we're not like everyday phone buddies. We're not on the phone all the time chatting or, you know, texting or whatever. But we can come here together, look forward to this time that we sit here and just go in.
Mm-hmm.
and the stuff that percolates and the ideas and the connections and that is all so, it's like the best dinner ever. You know, because you're getting right. All the flavors, and you know, so that's not small. So where's the judgment here? What is it? Maybe it's not judgment, maybe it's something else. What is that? What is underlying? And I'm not saying just for you, because that's obviously something that many people think and feel. There's a whole industry built on accountability. You know, it's like, damn, we got a whole planet of people that can't manage their own shit. What's the deal?
You know? Right.
And I wonder if some of that idea of accountability is someone who's going to push me to do something I really don't want to do, but I'm going to let them push me to do it because I don't want to own it, because I don't want to do it.
Well, yeah, for me, accountability simply is, I told you I would do this and I'm going to. That's it. That's all it comes down to is I said.
But that's an agreement. Mm-hmm. That's just, we're doing a podcast because we agreed to do a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We're accountable to each other only to the degree that we check in and say, oh, are we on this week? Yeah, cool. We're on. Good. We're ready to go. That's different to me than the common experience of accountability. But so anyway, so the question on the table then is this idea of what is the assessment of small? Is the assessment of small because we don't have national bestsellers? Is the assessment of small because we're not on everybody's TV? is the assessment of small, because I don't have name recognition in the world. What is that? What is the assessment of small, do you think, that goes on around that?
Maybe even for it's a great question, and I'm just sitting here right now. I know I do not have the answer for it, because it could be any of those things you've just mentioned. But on the opposite of playing small would be, what would be enough? How do you know that at the end of life you're laying on your deathbed, if you are so blessed to go out that way, and go, did I give it everything I've got? You know, how much of it did I do for me? How much of it did I, and for me, just being totally self-focused, and I spent my life fishing. And some people do that. There is a guy my girlfriend knows, it's called Fishing for Life, and he's found a way to fund his fishing adventures because he takes disabled kids on his boat once a month and gets all these tax write-offs and people to donate to it. And the rest of the time he's fishing. Oh, okay, that's cool. And I hope that doesn't sound like I'm bad mouthing anybody or not. And if I don't know the level of detail of which he does donate his time and service, then please forgive me, because I'm not that informed on all the details of that. It was just kind of a flippant example of it.
Well, no, I mean, I want to clarify, because I think what that reflects is somebody who, to the very point we're talking about, that is the thing, that is his big thing, that is his playing big, that is his satisfaction point, and that he's managed to create a life to support his satisfaction point is absolutely phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that whole picture is how awesome is it that what he wanted was to be satisfied as a fisherman, and he found a way to do it and still and make money at it and do it. And you go, yeah, that's it. Because that's, you and I have talked about that a lot, actually, as a part of this whole podcast business, you know, and we getting the website and getting everything up and out, and you know, is on a mission to evolve to something.
Right.
And so I think that's still happening. I think that every week we create a larger space. I have noticed personally in the last 2 weeks that something has shifted in our deep dives. It's gone to another level. But it's something to me that I feel I'm excited to put the podcast out even more, because there's something even greater to them than there has been before that I'm really excited about. And I hope that reaches, and I'm trusting that it is, you know, I'm trusting that it's out. You know, I'm doing my thing. I'm putting them out there. I'm, you know, they're out on the platforms. I check the platforms and that more hasn't shown up yet. What happened? Sorry, I lost my mic. Hang on.
I still hear you, Jim. So we were talking about this idea of fictitiously laying on your deathbed and wondering, did I do enough? Am I satisfied? Am I satisfied with how I've lived my life? Did I show up and play big? Did I risk injury? Did I risk defeat? Did I risk failure? not so much in a risky way. I'm not saying live your life full of risk, but as opposed to playing it safe, to me, playing it safe and playing small are one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't know the answer how, because sometimes you hear people saying, I would have devoted my whole life to this institution and this cause if it just changed one person's life. Well, is that really true? I don't know. I don't know the answer to how many people, how much impact do you have to have? And do you even need to see it in this lifetime? I think it's more of just, if you're feeling that you're playing small, you probably are. If you're feeling like there's more to give, there probably is. And that's probably the best I'm going to be able to do with it.
Well, it's interesting that you put playing safe and playing small in the same bubble, meaning I'm playing with that idea because I get it. Chances are good if you're playing small, it's because you're feeling safe where you are, but that's not necessarily true. But playing safe is not pushing yourself or not getting outside of your comfort zone more than mm-hmm. pushing yourself. But yeah, keep going, because there's a lot of good stuff coming out of this, and the dots are connecting. There's threads hanging. I'm just trying to pull on them.
So if we go back to this, I don't have a word answer for you. I don't have a congruent thought thread to say how do you measure impact on others? I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that there are many nights where I go to sleep feeling like I got more to give and there's more to do and I'm not doing it. And that doesn't feel good. And if I'm feeling it, there's got to be others that are out there feeling that too.
So just hypothetical, and maybe it doesn't even apply, but if we take the construct of, you know, I create my own reality, are there places, and I'm looking for me too, are there places that that what's the source of the feeling? Like when you feel like you're playing small, when someone feels like they're playing small, define that. What does that feel? What does that look like? What does that feel like? You say you experience that as you're, you know, laying in bed at night. I have more to give. I have more to contribute. Is that a thing that is about giving to self, or is that how is that about? What is that? Can you talk more in that?
Well, sure. I know that through all of the years that I was a Marine, part of being a Marine is you start out as an entity of one, taking care of yourself, and then you have your first promotion is you're taking care of yourself plus three others, and then the next promotion is you're taking care of yourself plus three other teams of three others, and it's all this groups of three all the way up to, you know, you have hundreds or thousands that you're responsible for and in charge of. And some people don't want to do the work to get to that next level, even though they could. They've had the schooling, they've had the training. It's just not within them to step up to that next level of influence, responsibility, leadership. So there's a tremendous amount of leadership that I have obtained in 20-something years on active duty, and then another 10 years as a defense contractor, as a consultant for the senior leaders in the military. And so there's this aspect now that I spent, you know, over 30 years of my life as a leader, and I'm not leading anymore. So there's that part of it. But in the time that I wasn't leading, I was then inventing, or I went back to school and I figured out more about how the human body works and human mind and what it is, and, you know, the whole spirituality thing. So I haven't just been on vacation since that time, but there's an aspect of not being in a position of leadership that feels like it's missing. And, you know, I'm cut out to be the leader of an organization. I can do that. I have done that. And right now I'm not doing that. I shouldn't say just, but for the most part, it's an hour of my time with a person at a time. And at the end of the day, that doesn't feel like there's a big group of people that have been influenced. If you look at the last 10 years of the number of people that I have influenced an hour at a time, one at a time, well, that is a big number. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there are, if you counted it all up, there has been a significant influence in that regard. It's just not something, you know, it's not something I see every day.
Where
I used to see that every day.
Yeah, I have... it's an interesting contrast, but I think it's funny. One of the things that I love when I talk to people when I'm driving, I'm somewhere between 10,000 and 11,000 rides in my history. And one of the things that blows my mind is to imagine, say somewhere around 13,000 people. 13,000 people standing in front of my car have all been in my car, and people that I have been able to serve to get them from one point to another safely, in some form of comfort, you know, whatever I can do to make that experience. But 13,000 people that have been in my direct influence that I've gotten to do that with,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, some might say, well, it's certainly not, you know, it's not being a counselor, but it's, you know, or being a therapist, but it is, it's service of a different type. But the point of that is that that is so powerful, an image of, if I think in those terms, I can't think that what I'm doing there is small. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It may to other people not be terribly significant, but to me, when I think about that, that's pretty freaking awesome. You know, that's the case. And it's not a way of being satisfied with less. It's just acknowledging what is in now and saying, now, where is that going to get carried forward? I was writing words down, but the leadership thing, I felt like the truest definition of what we've been talking about, because it distills a quality and a level of experience that has a lot of value and has a lot of impact. So having developed all of that power and all of that focus and all of that ability, what if the next step is how do you take your leadership into the world?
Mm-hmm.
Again, maybe the paradigm has to shift. If we go back to this idea of there has to be accountability in there, you know, those are, to me, old paradigms. Because if you're in your zone, if you're in your field, if you're in your alignment, you don't need accountability. You're there, you're in it, you're owning it, you're doing it because it's every cell of who you are. So maybe the trick is not to seek activity, but to focus on this idea of, okay, leadership is my thing. And we're in the same boat in that regard. That's been my whole life, different forms and different ways it's been grown and developed, but leadership nonetheless, it's been my thing, my banner forever. And I love that. I love that this feeling of what I'm talking about right now, because it gives us a place to focus in meditation, focus in our daily lives about, okay, leadership is what I'm looking for. How can I expand? How can I bring forth this leadership capacity in a way that will be satisfying and just knock the socks off of whatever? And so then that becomes a whole new process of creation, because, you know, maybe it's going to turn into the Jeff Smith show, you know, and it's going to be a TV thing, or maybe it's going to be Jim and Jeff are going to do seminars. Maybe it's going to be Jeff is going to go write his book and do seminars. Maybe it's going to be a combination of all of that. Maybe it's going to be none of that, but it's stay going there to seek the inspiration instead of going here, looking at, this is where I've been, this is what I've done, now what am I going to do? Saying, I'm here now, leadership is my thing, it's where I shine, it's where I feel the most satisfaction, where I feel like I have the greatest gifts. What can I do? How can this evolve for me? And by virtue of focusing the momentum there, stuff has to show up.
Mm-hmm.
So now things are going to start to show up that are going to say, oh, here's a leadership opportunity. Is this leadership opportunity, how's it feeling? Is it touching all the places? Is it stimulating the things that make me go wah? Or is it like, okay, that's nice, but you know, it's not that. You know, we were talking talking with Moshe the other day, and we were talking about, he was inquiring, because we've had some other conversations, and he had a little bit of a misperception about how I was explaining myself, about how I see things, with regard to engagement. And for me, because I spend all the time, you know, I'm always feeling into whatever's going on, you know? So if an activity comes up and maybe Michael or somebody is saying, hey, you want to do this? I take a moment and I feel into it. And if I don't feel anything one way or the other, it's a net here. So if it's a requirement that requires me to use a bunch of energy and I have to get dressed and go drive here and go do this and go engage this, if it's a neutral to my energy field, if it's a neutral contribution, I could take it or leave it. Because I'm going to have the same experience. My energy is going to be no different staying home than it is to go do that activity, because it hasn't stimulated anything in my vibration to say, that's pretty cool. That's going to stimulate. That's, yeah. You know, it's just sort of, okay, it's good. So I can engage it or not, and it's all good. You know, chances are good it'll be a favorable experience, probably not going to knock my socks off. And the question then becomes, do I want to engage at that point? Do I want to use my energy to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Different from activities that stimulate me and get my energy going, there's no choice there. It's the choiceless choice, because my energy is already there. So am I going to resist that, or am I going to engage it? Because engaging it always takes me to amazing places. Resisting it never feels good. So guess what? Boom, I'm there. Energy down, doesn't appeal to me. I don't even entertain it. It's not even like the word no is out of my mouth before the sentence is over. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Because it doesn't contribute. So I'm offering this as a way for our listeners to say, okay, if I'm identifying, I think Tony Robbins does some of this, the core need thing, whatever that is, a need for, I don't remember what they are because I haven't taken his course, but I know I've heard that before, but this is very similar to that in that. So you know that we know that leadership is the thing. We want to be leaders. We're attempting, we're doing a podcast as a way to express and show our ability to lead in thought and to lead in these ideas of consciousness and helping people to go to new places. And that can be expanded upon and grown upon. But just talking about it stimulates that level of excitement in me. It's not great big, but it's like, ooh, somewhere I can play for a little while. Ooh. And it isn't giant right now, because I just figured it out, right? So now I'm going to sit with this. I'm going to feel into this, ooh, and let it start showing up in my world and see what shows up, see what happens, see who calls me, see where I drive my car to, you know, whatever. And then let that direct the show, as opposed to, okay, I know this is my thing. I'm going to go home tonight. I'm going to make my lists. I'm going to set my goals. I'm going to do my this and I'm going to do my that. You're not there yet. And you probably should never try to get there yet. Because that's old paradigm. That's what we did at the first section of our lives to get us where we are now.
Right.
Doesn't necessarily apply now. So it gives us a huge platform individually, together, whatever, to really get to feel into that now. We had a concept of it. We grew into it and grew to know ourselves and our world better through it. Now, where does it go? Now I'm the leader. Now what? Because you already are. You're there. Now what? Now what? Wow. Okay. Now what? Your turn. I know that was a lot.
So not everybody listening has a desire to be a leader, and not everybody is a leader. However, I do know and believe that leadership through example can be simply doing your job the best you can do, living your life the cleanest, most loving, best example is also a very powerful way to be a leader and to show up with regard to intention and purpose. You don't have to have a big flock or following or tribe or any of that other stuff that I think even Abraham and Esther's work is all about. You don't need a book, you don't need a movie, you don't need all this other stuff. If you want to change the world, change yourself. Yeah. And through the influence that you're going to have on others, you will do that. So whether it's 1, 100, 1,000, 1,000,000, the whole planet, I'm trying to, again, reach back to answer your question you asked earlier about what's the number, or how much is enough, you know, that sort of thing. So I think it can be done as a one-off, but it could also be done in a much larger capacity as well, the it being influence and impact. But if we take this all the way back to our original dive with regard to purpose and whether you're showing up large every day or most of the days, or you're playing it small, I think that's, you know, try to reshape our conversation and get it somewhat back to that so that our listeners and even we can, you know, figure out where are we in our life today. I like how you summarized recently that, well, forget about the past and everything. How are you doing that right now today? What are you doing today to either show up as large as you can be, as large as you want to be, as large as you feel like you're supposed to be today for what you feel, not what mom or dad or wife or girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, but just for what you're feeling. How are you doing with that? What do you need to change? What small things can you do today that you can build on for tomorrow and the next day? And before you know it, you've actually made a pretty big change and you're showing up differently. And I go ahead.
That's a really important part because it isn't two things I want to say real quick. First is you were beginning to address the idea that about not everybody being a leader. Leadership happens to be the thing that he and I correlate on. There are all types of people. There are connectors. There are empathic people. There are, you know, there are the fishermen. There's all kinds of people have all kinds of desire. The question is distilling it down to what is your, if you're looking for that, what is yours? What is that overarching theme that shows up throughout your life that you're still trying to, you know, to try to get to? So anyway, I wanted to clarify that it isn't about being a leader or not being a leader. It's about being your, what's your field? What's your deal? You know, where do you excel? Where do you feel the most satisfaction in your world? And the showing up thing, I like the showing up as opposed to the bit playing big versus playing small. I think playing small is a good reference point to recognizing when you're cutting yourself off, but you're either showing up or you're playing small. Because if you're not showing up, then you aren't engaging at 100% of whatever that is on any given day in any given moment.
Yeah. Well, I know this conversation has been really helpful for me in just processing and pondering, particularly in light of the last several podcasts we've had, that I'm looking back, say, like the last 10 years of my life that have felt like I'm showing up less than I know that I could, should, would, any of that sort of thing. But it's like I'm so much of a different person today in how I'm living my life than I was 10 years ago. Yeah. If I had that clarity of purpose 10 years ago, I couldn't do what I don't know what's right in front of me to be able to start doing in the very near future, as I do believe there's a change happening and coming and approaching. Mm-hmm. So I know last week we spent some time talking about the transformation process that a butterfly goes through. And it really feels to me like I've been in that chrysalis for a while. And it's through that process that we don't even really know what happens in there, but significant change takes place. And that takes time that you have to wait through. That's not an overnight experience. But it just cracks me up. I'm just thinking about what I've experienced in just the last couple of months with regard to how I've radically changed my diet. And I was sharing this with, I can't remember who I was sharing it with recently, but I just like started having one of those gut busting belly laughs at how hilarious it would sound to somebody if I told them that, you know, I'm a flexitarian now. I eat fins and fish rarely and mostly whole plant, you know, it's a plant-based diet. And people would look at me and go, what happened to you? Who are you now? And I was thinking, I don't even know who I am right now. I mean, really, it's like, I really don't know who I am because of the amount of change that's taken place. And maybe I got to figure that out, really, truly figure that out and be able to define that so that the leadership part can like catch up. Because if you know, you don't know who you are and you're leading people, you might not be going in a good direction.
Yeah, and that's why I use the expression feel your way into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the leadership skill is there. Now it's a question of how is it going to express through this new consciousness, through this new ability.
Right.
Another thing I wanted to point out again, for the, particularly for the listeners, but also to you because you use the language. One of the most dangerous things we can do to ourselves is to reflect back 10 years to where we were then and compare it to where we are now. Because where you are now, you're here because of where you were then,
mm-hmm.
but it has nothing to do with where you are now. And meaning you were doing what you could with what you had from where you were at that point. And this goes to the point where I was talking about the idea of feeling regret. That's where it comes from. It's judging that the past could have been different than it was, or that you could have made different choices than you did, but you're basing that on what you know now, not what you knew then.
Right.
That's true of everybody. I do that. We all do that. But the importance of that is in recognizing that doesn't propel you forward in the way that feeling into where you are now does. Did that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it gives it way more momentum because there's no baggage attached to it. So yeah, you know, I did that. That was, and all of that has brought me here, and it's valuable and it's wonderful and it's a reference library, and that's the extent of it. My reference library is over there, and now I'm going to take this new whatever, this expanded, this new evolution, and I'm going to feel my way through it and into it, and it's going to be amazing. And it is. It can't be anything but, because you've not removed or changed your dedication or commitment to yourself or your life. So if there's no energy there yet, it's because you're not ready yet.
Yeah.
You're still evolving. You're still, you know, I mean, and that's again true for me. And I do that all the time, is if I'm there and there's no energy, there's nothing to do. I mean, if there's no energy, no amount of me contriving energy is going to make energy where there is none in the way that I want it. If that, you know what I mean? That energy that I know that comes from in here, that's about that connection, similar to what happened after our conversation in our podcast last week. You know, that experience of having that tremendous shift happen right on live on the radio, you know, or in the podcast.
Right.
It was a visceral, whole body, cellular experience. And I live for those. That's like everything. It's the same. It's just, it will blow your mind when you allow it to all of the cool things that we've all become to this point in our lives. If we can release them and let ourselves be here now and focus that energy and feel our way into it, the things that you could create would just be crazy.
Some of the you were talking about comparing 10 years ago to now is I've, for whatever reason, a gift, a curse somewhere in between, I don't know. I've always had an idea of which way to go and what to do. Mm-hmm. However, the game has changed. The way has changed. And so it's dumping the old that doesn't work. It's like the old operating system doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
This computer that I'm on right now, I keep getting a message from Microsoft that in January 20th,
it's done.
It's no longer going to be serviceable. I was like, what do you mean? There's nothing wrong with it. I got to get a new one. The way has changed.
Yes.
and us keeping up with that can sometimes be, it's like, wait, I thought I had it figured out. I really thought this was the way to be successful. This was the way to be happy. This was the way to feel purpose filled. And it's changed.
It's changed. And it couldn't be said any better, because that's really what the recognition is. And back to what we were talking about a little while ago with this idea of not understanding ultimately the how our energy evolves and how our system changes, that we can have a kind of an idea, but that once you really come into that place of balance, you begin to see that it requires a lot more than we think. we have been entrained, I think, for a long time into this idea of not paying enough attention here, so that we just push. And then if we drop or we get sick or we get, you know, whatever, it's like, oh, okay. So, I gotta muscle through, you know, I got this, I got that. So I'm going to push even harder and keep going and keep pushing. And where I've come to, and what happens for me is I don't get sick because I'm not resisting. I'm not pushing. I'm not doing that. I don't, you know, I may be frustrated at times because I haven't found that, you know, as I'm still feeling into it, I'm thinking it needs to happen faster. Come on. I'm ready. So what I need to do now is, okay, if I'm ready, then as I'm feeling into it, maybe I need to spend more time in that energy. What does that feel like? What does it look like? Maybe I don't have specifics. Maybe I don't have any idea, but I want to help this energy expand a little more. So maybe in my meditation, I'm spending more time allowing thoughts and ideas and feelings to take me into how that might express itself. Or, you know, something like that, but something that allows you to play in it a little more. And by adding that playful energy, you're stimulating it. You're raising the vibration there again. And it has even more opportunity to kind of express and show up in whatever ways it needs to bring as much satisfaction to you as you're looking for. So it's such an interesting kind of double-edged sword when I keep getting a thing here. It almost seems like a double-edged sword in some regard, because what was before, what worked before, which is not necessarily going to work now, or doesn't even have a lot of energy there now. I forget where I was going. I got distracted by my screen.
We were talking about it's changed. The game has changed. What worked before and all that.
I was just coming back around to your point, which is it's not even the same, you know, you're not even in the same city anymore. the same, you know, all that.
Several times during our podcast, I've had the inspiration to at some point work in this idea of we look back to, say, the 60s in our country as a time of social change, significant social change, unrest with regard to racism, with regard to sexuality, with regard to drugs, just the old way just was coming crashing down.
Yeah.
And to me, that's happening again today. I don't know if we'll call it the 20s or the teens in the future, if historians will look back at this time and say, yeah, this was kind of like the 60s, where people are just finally saying, no, we're not going to do it that way anymore. Yeah. And so as a result of that, it isn't just you and I that are wondering at times, am I playing large enough? Am I playing too small? What is my purpose? And it's really a planetary issue right now that most everybody is having.
Yep.
And I couldn't be happier about that you don't need a 6,000 square foot house and 3 cars and 2 vacation homes. That's not a purpose. Sounds judgmental, but from my experience and from the people that I'm working with, that doesn't bring happiness. And what does bring happiness is connection and more of a tribal communal experience that we're not doing. But yet the younger generations are saying, hey, I am willing to live in a micro house. I am willing to have a ride a bike sometimes, or drive a really small car, or maybe even an electric car. And I don't need to work my way up the corporate ladder and have a big 401k and work for a company that's not really very kind to the planet, but it gives really, really good stock options, so I'm going to stay here for 20 or 30 years. That's done. That is done.
Yep.
And thank goodness.
Well, and not only that, I mean, we're seeing an inordinate amount of social change about to take place. You know, the whole thing that's happening in our country with our government, that's happening with governments across the world and countries across the world. There's huge evolution happening right now, and change. And it's coming to somewhat of a crux, I think, over the next, especially at least what it looks like over the next 6 months to a year, 2 years. can radically really alter everything. Our whole way of life can change. And so, you know, I begin to wonder in part if some of this kind of holding pattern is some of that. Some of there's so much going on that's trying to filter that there isn't that we're just we're chomping at the bit, but we don't really quite know where that's gonna go next.
Yeah.
Because there's some pretty radical things that are showing up in the world that have to be resolved in some form. And maybe part of it is being a part of that. I don't know. I don't know that what that looks like. It has more and more sparked in me this how to what you were talking about. How do we contribute in a way that matters, that's impactful? I can say personally, and I know one suggestion is dial out, but it's I trust my process. So if I have interest, then I'm going to stay with where my interest is because there's something I need to know or understand. And this process for me of watching what our government is going through, it really kind of leaves me kind of going, where are we going to be here in a couple of years? If all of what we're seeing is real, so to speak, if this current administration continues beyond the next election, that feels not good to me. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what that, it's a little disconcerting because so the question there for me even is so do you pull out and ignore and just move on and see what happens? But this seems so consequential to me that it's hard to do that. The impact on everything. So, but again, microcosm, macrocosm, so you kind of scratch your head and go, yeah, well, so I'm not meaning to say any of that is an excuse for anything. It's just, these are all parts in my world, the things that I see have influence, and I'm not real sure how that plays out in the end. And if it has any play, am I giving it more play than it needs?
Well, it's definitely creating social distress and,
yep.
Change. It's change is definitely happening.
That is for sure.
I liked your idea of this holding pattern too, because I was just thinking of the analogy of, I used the computer as an example of, it's been working great all this time, and but yet, you know, you can't buy any apps or accessories that go with this old computer any longer. And it's like, hey, you know, you haven't bought me a new upgrade in a while or whatever. It's like, well, because you can't. It just has to now sit here until it's done. And then the new one will show up and there'll be all kinds of new little bells and whistles to put on it.
Yeah. And isn't that an interesting analogy in the end? I mean, it so speaks to everything we just talked about.
Yeah.
It's a version of playing small, right? In some form, you know, but this is the way it was. Am I ready to let go of the way it was to see what the way it could be?
Yeah.
Potential that exists, which could mean not having anything. You know, I mean, it doesn't mean going and buying the latest and greatest computer, but for what you're doing, it may be that is absolutely what you need to do. But getting rid of it and not having anything is also another option and another step in a direction, you know? So it's cool. Again, feeling your way into what it is, you know, and it sounds silly with a computer, but it's all reflective. It really is. It's all reflective. Feels like the energy has settled. Does it feel that way to you?
Yes, sir.
you want to wrap us, or you want me to wrap us?
Yeah, go for it, Jim. I'll catch what you don't, if there is any.
Yeah, perfect. So our intention in our deep dive today was to look at this idea of playing small, more importantly, kind of dialing into this more clarity about what it is to feel that sense of purpose or to feel that sense of connectedness to who we are and what we bring to the table. And that we had discussed for both of us, this idea of leadership is what's most satisfying. And how do we do that differently or new or how does it evolve now for us that isn't about bringing the old baggage with us or the old stories with us or the old ways with us to say, okay, I'm here now and I'm going to engage my understanding. I'm going to engage my energy in this leadership thing and I'm going to feel my way into it and I'm going to see where this momentum takes me. We talked a lot about, so for us, it was leadership. But the idea of showing up, understanding that showing up and playing small are just contrasting points. If you know you're showing up, then you're not playing small. You're playing where you are with what you got, with what you have. And if you want more than that, then you have to focus more energy there. It doesn't mean you have to create more checklists. It just means you have to focus more energy. So, what was that last one? Impact. So that was another really big deal. I think I don't know if we spent as much time on that. But impact is, I think, speaks a lot to legacy, speaks a lot to the human part of us, the ego part of us that wants to feel that we've left a mark somehow in a way that people will notice, that the world would notice I was here. But that's probably something we can dive into in greater detail in another dive, because I think that could be a whole topic unto itself.
Yeah, closely related to impact would be influence, in the way that I've heard scholars talk before about the measure of a person's effectiveness on the planet is how much influence did they have on other people, for better or for worse. Mm-hmm.
Good definition. So we're encouraging, hopefully there were enough tools that were presented to you all there that, if not, let us know. We'd be happy to provide some more options and ideas about how to get there from here. But again, coming back to this idea that be in the context of your own field and what has your life brought you to? What is the prevailing energy that you want to take into the world based on who you are and what you know of who you are? And if you can't answer that yet, that's okay. Spend time learning it. Spend time in that quiet space in your meditation and however you do your daily practice to figure that out, because you will if you give yourself the ability to do that and not relying on the old tools that we talked about before. So there's a lot to this. There's a lot of moving parts. But it's extraordinary work, and it's extremely valuable, and at times frustrating, because when you feel that potential and you feel that the strength and the power of that potential, you kind of want it now.
Right.
And it's so easy to go back to the old paradigm and go, great, I'm going to muscle through and make it happen, instead of staying in that space and let the anticipation and the energy build so that when it shows up, you're fully ready for that, which is really what you're here for. So my 2 cents for what it's worth.
Nice. There's so many of our podcasts that we have focused on self-improvement and being able to love and accept self. And that to me still is the number one most important factor in being on this planet. Is through all of the messages we've heard that we're not lovable and acceptable, is to overcome those, reprogram those with the truth, which is just by virtue of being brave enough to come here, makes us lovable and acceptable, and that we could truly feel that. It's not just a statement that you make or a mantra that you share with yourself, but you're really living that every day. And in addition to that self-work, and that would be a life worth lived right there. That one, you get to your deathbed and you're really truly self-accepting and self-loving, you're done. You did it. Hooray. First place goes to you. In addition to that, if you're laying in bed at night thinking, I do believe there's more contribution I have to make, there's more service I have to give, there's more education that are learning or knowledge that I want to be able to apply not only in my life, but also leading by example in the lives of others, then do it. That's your calling. If that's something that is a message that resonates within you. There are people, there are places just like this podcast that can encourage you. You'll have to find a meetup to belong to. You'll find some kind of a group and accountability and whatever that means to you. But create it. Just do it. Instead of laying in bed every night or whenever you're thinking about it in your meditations or your prayers, that just know that your desire, if you stick with it, will propel you into some action at some point. It could be a decade away. I don't know. In some ways, it has been a decade for me in some cases. In others, it's just been back to back to back with one after the next, after the next, after the next. A lot of successes and achievements and things that all seem to fit together. And then, whoa, a big pause. Oh, what's happening? What's wrong? Well, that was a big metamorphosis happening within me before I could be at the next level to go to the, you know, the next stages and things that are in front of me that I don't know exactly what those are yet. But they're there. They're coming. I know they will. I know they'll show up, and they will for everybody else too.
I'm continually amazed by our parallels because it has been for me 10 years. 2009 is when everything that I had built the previous 46 years completely disintegrated. And that was the year. That was the year of, like the country record. You know, that was the year of the divorce, the cancer, the job loss, the house loss. It's interesting. It's been 10 years, and it's so interesting that you said that. I hadn't really thought about it, but it has actually been 10 years. It's pretty remarkable. So there's something to that. I think there's something valuable to that, and trusting, continuing to trust that process that I didn't get here. I haven't brought myself to this point because there is no more. That there's no logic to that, and the universe doesn't work in a vacuum. So it doesn't make any sense either. So, but we could go on and on because we love doing that. We love going deeper and deeper and deeper. We'd love to hear from you. If you have questions, comments, ideas, don't hesitate to reach out. If you want to watch us, you can see us on our YouTube channel at Adventures in Truth Podcast. And if you want to listen in, we're on all the major podcast formats, Stitcher and Deezer and Spotify and Apple and all that good stuff. And we also have our website at www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com, where, again, you can engage us there as well. So we appreciate you out there. We're so glad you're here with us, and looking forward to even more deep dives. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Podcast. If you would like to listen to more or to explore all our offerings, visit us on the web at www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com. We also offer video versions of our podcast. Visit our page on YouTube at Adventures in Truth Podcast. We would love to hear from you. Like, connect, and follow with us on Facebook. Want to book us for your next podcast or to speak at your event? Head over to our webpage at www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com at the bottom of the page and send us a note. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to seeing you again at Adventures in Truth Podcast.